Tarot Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Today is August 8th, 2017. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. I'm back home in Eugene, Oregon. Thanks for joining us today. Today we have with us Brian Porter, who is the founder and producer of MakingADifference.TV. He's been with us before, and I invited him back because I love his ideas and his concepts. So, Brian, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Lonnie, again, for giving me a chance to spread the wisdom of the ages, as I say. Oh. And I appreciate, all of what you do. And, yeah, I'd love to give people an update on my it's not a complete life change because I've always lived pretty naturally. But, yeah, it's pretty abrupt and to move on and live, you know, in the woods with people who want to create community and get back to our natural ways.
Yeah, well, Brian is about to change his entire lifestyle and move back into what they call intentional community. It's where you make an effort not to be an abuser of the earth, really. Don't you think that's kind of you'll have electricity. They will use a lot of wood. And I imagine you guys are going to turn into some type of do you guys have any type of solar or anything alternative, or are you just totally off the grid? How do you plan on getting off the grid?
We do have some solar. We're very low users of electricity.
Right.
Mike, the guy who started the community, Mike Nickerson's been pretty much living in these communities for the last 45 years. He's 66 now, so it's been 45 years he's lived in different communities. So he's a real veteran of this stuff. Yeah. So he's more of a low user versus getting right off, but I think eventually we will. He's got some solar panels kicking around. So much of the solution, Lonnie, is just insulating properly, right? Because if you insulate your house properly, you don't even need heat or cooling. I mean, it's so simple, but it's this kind of thing we sort of avoid that simple adage, waste not, want not, right? And so many of the answers are back to simplicity, love and abundance. This complex system of, quote, convenience, we call it convenience. How convenient is killing the planet, folks?
it's relatively easy to kill the planet. I mean, the thing is, it's actually not easy to kill the planet. It's not easy. They're having to make an effort to do it, and that's the interesting thing. I mean, they really, honestly, we could, like this intentional community that you're going to live in, it's making an effort to leave as small a footprint as it can. And this is the interesting thing. There's sort of this braggadocious attitude of, it's really very anthropocentric. Like, we're humans, we can do whatever we want to the planet. It doesn't matter how disruptive it is. It doesn't matter at all.
Yeah. And I'll definitely start doing some shows with Mike because he's written a lot of stuff. He's quite well respected in Canada, well known. He's done lots of tours, lots of seminars. But basically, his philosophy is that everything we need can come right off the land. We need very actually all the growth comes from the air and the water. They've actually done experiments where they've actually taken plants. Like he talked about this tree. That they planted a tree in a certain amount of soil. I think it was a square meter of soil. And then after 5 years of growth, they weighed the tree, they weighed the soil, and they found that the soil weighed the same, and the tree had gained 30 pounds in weight. And so everything we need is coming from the sun and from the rain. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. And this is why there's hope, Lonnie, because every day the sun rises and the sun sets. All the processes, the regenerative processes are still there. We're trying to mess it up as fast as we can, as much as we can. But there's a lot of life left in the planet. I think it's only about half gone and maybe less so. Certainly up in Canada, I mean, we got it made up here. I mean, compared to the rest of the world, we got a lot of wild. You go for it. Like, when I'm driving there. I'm in the woods most of the time. Now it's not as vibrant as it was like 200 years ago before we cut down all the big trees and, you know, harvested all the wood, but it's still there. It's sitting there fallow. It's doing its natural, beautiful, you know, thing. And, there's a lot of bugs where I'm going. That's one thing I have to get used to again. Yeah. Bugs, insects. Where I live now in Toronto, there's almost none. I don't even know why I sleep in a tent. I probably don't even need to. But, No, this is the good news, Lonnie, is that a lot of
people... You're sleeping in a tent in your backyard in Toronto?
Always. You have to stay in touch with the mother. It's funny how many people I meet who are spiritually connected to the earth, and they say, wow, that's a good idea.
Wow.
It's so good for you to, anybody can do this anywhere as long as you have a backyard or a porch. It's good to sleep outside. Mother Nature, the nature spirits, they help you dream. They visit you. I think that they can even help heal you. The release of the energy at night, the cooling of the earth. I think it's all meant to make us, to help us connect. You know, that connection, once we love Mother Earth, everything will stop, Lonnie. We will see the decimating effects of all our technologies and toxic release. And we'll say, hey, I mean, this is nuts, you see? So it's that vital, loving connection with Mother Earth. It's a living being. I believe she's in me. I mean, she literally walks with me every day, every second of my existence here. And I
know, Brian, that's kind of that philosophy. Like for me, like I don't view myself. I mean, it will make some people upset that I believe this, but I don't believe that God is something outside of us. I think we're all intrinsically part of each other. Like we are the Godhead. We are everything. All of us are all interconnected, and the conflict is about denying that. When people don't love themselves, when they deny who they are, when they refuse to just love themselves. And because when you love yourself, you love the earth, you love everything. You love really is greater than fear. And what runs the world right now is fear. Fear is ruling the world. Fear drives this. We got to have more because we're not going to have enough. It's fear. It's fear based. So, I mean, the idea about you know, kind of living off the grid and going to live in harmony with the earth means that you've released a lot of your anxiety and fear that you have to have all these things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the greatest way to save money is not to spend it. And you need so little when you're, you know, it's that simple. Although I do want to make Mother Earth money, which will allow people who are rich to help replenish the planet. That's something that, you know, maybe we can talk about later. But I don't believe that we have to suffer tremendously to change this planet. I know that people in my bailiwick want us to, become completely sort of disconnected from the material world. But I don't think that that's necessary. And I don't think it's going to be enough to fix things. So I've got other solutions. But no, I'm blessed. Lonnie, I'm telling you, people think I'm nuts when I say this, but I literally walk with angels and creator beings every day of my life. Mike has felt this.
I think everybody walks with angels and creative beings every day of their lives. It's whether you want to acknowledge it or not, Brian. Like, that's the thing. Like, they're there. But if you choose not to feel them, it's a choice. We get to have that's what free will is about. You can choose to be connected to the real source of universe, or you can choose not to. It's your choice. And it's like people choose to be unhappy. You can choose to stay stuck. That's a choice, because they're living in fear. They choose to stay there because it's more comfortable. They're afraid of what will happen if they let go of their anxiety. Same thing. I mean, that's the interesting thing. Like, you're embracing this whole new lifestyle. Now, why don't you explain what this alternative community looks like to our listeners?
Well, yeah. First of all, let me just say, I've talked about this. I'm actually hoping to interview the head of IC.org, Fellowship of Intentional Communities, which I think is important that people connect. I tell everybody in alternative radio, sounds like they're burnt out and sick. I said, get into an intentional community. There's thousands of them across North America and Canada. IC.org has an incredible resource for connecting people with these communities. I'm hoping to get the director on Making a Difference I think it's Sunday. Because I really want, or Saturday of this week, I really want people to know where to go. And I downloaded all of their magazines. They've been putting out magazines, believe it or not, since 1971. I downloaded every issue, 4.5 gigs of information about how to get off grid, how to deal with the legalities of it, everything you need to know is just through this one site, IC.org. That stands for Fellowship of Intentional Communities. Okay, so what I'm doing is just one of many things. You see, the key is, let's get back to what you were saying about being connected. See, everything we have now is upside down, right? Everything is backwards and upside down, okay? What really the truth of it is for me, Lonnie, is the foundation. The human soil is living in harmony with Mother Earth, growing our own food, being what we are within the larger sphere of different choices of or different systems of natural organization. We are a pack animal. Right now, we're like sardines, like a school of lost a fish, limited ability to see all the connections. So as you say, we live in fear. It's fight or flight. So we've devolved back to that level of species, like the sardine, right? That's basically the way we're acting now. We're afraid. So a mass of people runs in this direction, in that direction. We don't see the connections. We don't see the real source of the problems, the real causes of our difficulties, right? So when you get into these intentional communities, you learn to live as we once lived, which is a family. We're supposed to live in extended family. The young are supposed to take care of the old. And this is the way we're supposed to live. And out of these communities, we create the family, extended family. We connect with other families. And then we create a community, a larger community. And then we share the resources. And then these communities become villages. And each village is run internally. Then they connect with other villages. This is what I call the perfect way of living on this planet. There's no need for a huge government. There's no need for anything other than love and abundance created locally. Okay, this is what we had here, Lonnie, right? Before we came here and destroyed it. And we don't realize that it all started 500 years ago. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the consequences of raping and pillaging the natural communities that used to be here 500 years ago. That's really what we're dealing with.
Well, it's about the whole idea. The whole Western conquest basically really has, it's all anthropocentric. They really believe that God gave them the earth and they could really do this. This is fundamentally, it's the choice of, are we to live here in harmony with the planet Earth, or are we here to have dominance over it? And that's the conversation. And the issue is that we're seeing that dominance over planet Earth is not sustainable. We only have one planet Earth. It's going to be a hard comeuppance to Elon Musk. Like, we can't. There's no second planet. There's no planet B to go to. You know what I mean? In one of my science classes, we had to do a presentation to a class on any scientific topic. A young woman did this whole thing on, is it feasible to go to move the life? Should we be moving human life to another planet since our planet is dying? Her conclusion at 19 or 20 years old was, yes, that's a good idea. And I'm like, what? I said to her, at the end, we got to ask questions. So I asked her, I'm like, well, who's going to go? Do you think they're going to transport all of us? Like, who makes the decision on who stays and who leaves? Certainly not you, who's saying this is a great idea. You think you're going to have a ticket on one of those airplanes? I don't think so. So it's the whole concept of divorcing ourselves from a reality and Mother Earth. Like, really, that's the...
I mean, this is a miracle in the universe, this planet. All, I mean, I believe the aliens are coming here because this is one of the nice stops on their journey around. No, this is a beautiful place. We don't want to leave here. Anybody who wants to leave here is just, again, thinking backwards. Like most people are thinking upside down and backwards. Okay. This is a gem. This is one of the most sacred places in the universe. And we got to do everything we can. We're supposed to be protecting this damn planet, not destroying it. And then you get into, see, a lot of it starts, as you say, the Western way. Everything about the West, as we say in the, from the Vedic perspective, East is divine, West is blind. We're not really seeing the consequences of the way we're doing things. I love Christians and I love their perspective, but I mean, if you don't understand that reincarnation exists and that there's many, many lives to learn the lessons, right? Then you get these people who just want to try to, you know, pull everything out of this one life. And that's another thing that pushes people.
Well, Brian, that's another, the whole thing about our spiritual past. I mean, there's people, I was an atheist for a long time. And I really believed that there was no God, that this whole thing, I didn't believe in reincarnation. I didn't believe in any of it. Because it all seemed to me like a bunch of hooey. It's like man-made rules, man-made regulations, and we don't honestly have the answers. We don't really know. Until you're dead, we don't know what's going on. And guess what? There's no coming back. Once you're gone, you're gone. So that whole point of one religion or is that, or that, I think the greater key is really living without fear. And I think that's what religions bring people. They give them an opportunity to feel like they don't have to be afraid. Because humans are fragile physically. We know that. We're not strong and we're fragile mentally. We know that. You know what I mean? We live in fear. So the harmony, I mean, the Europeans came here and pillaged and plundered because they had a God, they believed they had a God-given right. They 100% believed it. But so there's a total disconnect. And the thing about the intentional communities is it's an intention to get us back into harmony with the spirits, the energy, the flow of Mother Earth, of the planet. There's a certain element of peace and harmony when you're out chopping wood, for example. When you're building, creating and growing your own food, there's a lot to be said. The energy and the intelligence of our planet is beyond our comprehension. They're just now discovering that mushrooms are like mega computers. So are octopi. They're like mega computers. Their brains are super fast, super smart. We're just now learning that.
Well, I mean, yeah, the whole mycology is so fascinating. Paul Stamets, Stamets, he calls himself a bioneer, as an engineer, when bioneer. And yeah, he's come up with all sorts of cures for cancer from mushrooms. They are incredible species because they actually, most of what mushroom is underground. 40% of the soil is microbial in North America. And believe it or not, the earthworm is not native to North America. We live quite fine without the earthworm. The earthworm came here with the Europeans. Yeah. So all you need is really is fungus. to reclaim all the elements, all the vital minerals and everything. And it actually works with algae to pull nutrients out of rock, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's quite an amazing place. Once you start to understand it, you start to see the miracle of what it is. But because I'm a heart-centered person, I connect through love. And I just love this planet. I'm looking out my window, I'm seeing trees and everything, and I just it fills me with a beautiful sense of wonder. And when you are like that, amazing things happen. Like the other day, I'm sitting in my backyard, and one of my neighbors says, there's a peregrine falcon, you know, right there. And I go around the corner. They said it was stuck in something. Well, it unstuck itself. And then there's two of them, like sitting like 10 feet away from me on my fence, which is very unusual. But, you know, everything around you is attracted to you when you live in harmony with nature. And so you start to experience it more. You were saying earlier about how it's a choice. Well, it's a choice, but I mean, you got to work at it. I mean, when you're living completely alienated from nature in these big cities and whatever, living in a car all the time, watching a commute, right? There's a transition period, right? So this is kind of what intentional communities are trying to do. What I usually recommend to someone who's that kind of like connected with technology and in the Western mindset is that you just spend a week in one, and then you just slowly go through the transition, because it takes a while, because we've become addicted to a destructive way of living, and it takes a while to get over that addiction. So it's a choice, but believe me, it's not an easy choice for most people to get back to a simpler, more divine way of living. And oh yeah, so I was going to get to that. I created this thing called Tri-Energetics, which is a very simple natural way of living. Okay, there's three main connections here. I love these things, but other people can connect in their own way because everyone's unique. Okay, but this is the key. The key to fixing this planet is three vital connections: Mother Earth, Father Light, and to each other. Okay, these are the three vital connections, and I love these connections. And other people see them, feel them, sense them. Some people are very logical in their thinking, so they see the importance of these things, but they don't love them the way I do. So within each one of us is our different energies, so we're all unique. And when you look at a tree, every tree is unique, every plant, almost every blade of grass is almost unique. So something about creation wants diversity, immense creativity, immense diversity, right? So the real truth is in the soil. Okay, that's the real truth. Out of the truth of the foundation comes the many creative manifestations. So what we've done, if we've tried to find this higher truth some other place, as you say, somewhere up there, but no, it's backwards. The truth is in creating the perfect soil for growth for everyone, and these intentional communities are, because they're so diverse. And you can go into these communities and create your own belief system if you want, right? As long as it lives in harmony with the mother. You could worship earthworms. You could worship the mushroom if you want. You can worship, I'm just looking at my front window, I see a dragonfly, which is kind of unusual because there's no bugs around here. But so, I mean, you can worship anything you want as long as it's natural and as long as it lives in harmony, right? It's so, I mean, Lonnie, life is so simple when you get back to the foundation. Violence. I mean, violence is rampant. Why is there so much violence?
Right? I mean, is that a real question? It's fear. That's the answer. Fear. People are addicted because they're afraid. People are violent because they're afraid. Fear is the general meme. I mean, this is really what it's about, is fear. People need to move. When I say that love is greater than fear, genuinely, I mean it. Like, if you just allow yourself, and there's even fear into allowing yourself to feel love, because they're addicted to the pain and because they're afraid. It's like this negative feedback loop, right? Or I guess that's called a positive feedback loop. It keeps going and going. It turns into this vicious cycle. I mean, it's they call it a positive feedback loop because it feeds into itself, right? But it can be in a negative way towards ourselves. And this is really why it's really vital to allow yourself to do things afraid, to do it afraid. It's okay. It's like, as when a baby starts to walk or crawl or do anything, you can see like a little 2-3 month old baby, like they're thinking about they might want to crawl. And then they get to like 4, 5, 6 months old. They start doing it. It takes them like 10 minutes, 15 minutes of like, okay, I think I can do it. And then they start doing it. It's like, every time as humans, we're fragile. We're very fragile. And because we reach adulthood, we recognize that we are fragile as creatures. Then we start getting into the fear that, you know, the people that live fearlessly are the ones who feel more content in their lives. This is what the yogi talks about all the time. You know, you listen to yogis, you can go to YouTube. There's some really awesome. And I know there's one on your YouTube, on your channel, makingadifference.tv. And it's really about living fearlessly, about understanding that we are in harmony with the universe, whether you want to recognize it or not. We're already there. And it depends on how much we embrace that harmony in terms. This is what my belief, I'll just tell you that, like, the more you embrace the harmony that we're in with the universe, the faster we'll be able to resolve the disharmony of being living in fear. So we just have to embrace it. And sometimes it's okay to do things in fear. It's all right. It doesn't mean we have to live without fear. It just means we have to understand that there's more to life than our fear.
Well, that's where the spiritual stuff comes in, because as you say, Yogi talks, that one of my favorite things that he talks about is, why fear when the Lord is here? The Lord is in our hearts. Heart chakra is very powerful. The heart is the only organ in the body that never has to rest, which is really unique, right? You know, it's absolutely amazing. So obviously, it's the center of energy system in our bodies. It creates, if you know how to live there, you feel love and abundance all the time. You connect with the spirits that are around us that most don't see. So, but getting back to fear, now fear is also connected to scarcity. And what we're doing now is, within our present systems, we're creating a lot of scarcity of connection, right? So we got to see that connection too. Fear isn't just something that happens out of nowhere. No, it's a lack of connection. Once you connect with source, once you connect with, here, source is represented with Mother Nature, right? But let's get back to my foundational system. So we got Mother Earth. We talked about Mother Earth living in.
Brian, before we get into that, let's go. But I want to just interject this very quickly, because you said you never see bugs, and a dragonfly was right outside your door. I just looked up. I believe that these are all symbols. Like, things come to us. They're not accidents, and we choose to see them. Like, animals are spiritual symbols, and creatures and insects. So the spiritual meaning of the dragonfly, in almost every part of the world, symbolizes change, and change in the perspective of self-realization, and the kind of change that has its source in mental, emotional maturity and the understanding of a deeper meaning of life. I thought that was quite stunning, considering what we're talking about.
That's beautiful. Okay, well,
this is what I'm saying. Like, if we recognize these things that are, we could just pass by the idea of a dragonfly coming into your life. But there's more than that. These are messages. When we talk about having angel guides and spirit guides around us, these are the messages that come to us.
Yeah. And the peregrine falcons coming to say goodbye, because they knew I'm leaving, right? And they came here to be with me anyways, to protect me. And I mean, there's so much. My friend Barbara Three Crows is just absolutely amazing. I don't know if you've met her or ever interviewed her, but you might want to, you know, she's very connected. She just, I just love chatting with her. I was chatting with her this morning about, you know, Lyme disease and how to deal with that. And she says, oh, she's got a lot of this stuff figured out. So, because it's a deterrent, right? All this bioweaponry, Lyme disease, that kind of stuff is being created to keep people from going in this direction, right? To create that fear of the wild, of where we belong. So it's important to know how to deal with this stuff. And you were suggesting vitamin C, right? Megadosing and vitamin C.
There's a lot of evidence that you can protect yourself if you just take a good steady dose of vitamin C every day. There's this great book that really changed my life. It's called Primal Panacea by Dr. Levy, L-E-V-Y. It's Primal Panacea. But mm-hmm. I'd like you to go back to what you were talking about, the levels of Earth, before I cut you off on the dragonfly thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, the tri-energetic. So we know we have to connect with Mother. We should be growing our own food locally, because obviously when you even organic food, the standards allow for the spraying of anti-aging preservatives, right? Even that's in Canada and the U.S., I think pretty much global. So when you eat organic food grown by a farmer, it could be sprayed, especially if it's coming from another country, right? And they have to ship it. Not the local farmer, though. I think that's pretty safe. So we know that. But the thing that this is the piece that's missing, and we understand the importance of loving each other, at least some of us do. I mean, we understand it, but I'm not sure how many people actually are very good at it anymore. I think most people are pretty bad at supporting one another and taking the time to listen and connect and creating that quality relationship that we all need. Okay, so that's that. The one that we really have lost track of, and the one that's really hard for people to connect to, is Father Light. Now, Father Light, yeah, there are three reasons. Okay, I see everything in terms of threes. Father Light is the three reasons, and we got everything upside down. I was blessed, and I'm telling you, I've had a blessed life. I connected with a very, very smart philosopher when I was a young lad. My first, he actually was my student advisor at McMaster University when I switched from science into philosophy. I sensed something was missing in my pursuit to understand the natural universe through science. And so I flipped to philosophy. And a lot of my science friends said, God, you're brave. You know, I can't believe you're doing this. Everybody else is after the money and you want to actually understand things. So they admired what I've done, because I could have become a computer scientist, you know, very easily. That was sort of where I was going, or an engineer. So anyway, so he loved Immanuel Kant. And Immanuel Kant was a brilliant German philosopher who lived around the time of actually just before Tesla, in that era. And he came up with an incredible insight that nobody listened to. And we are reaping the demise of everything that's come out of Western science. It can be summarized in what Kant said. And this is the three reasons. We have inductive reason. We have deductive reason. Inductive is based upon our sensory perceptions. Inductive or deductive is based upon our understanding of mathematics and creating the ability to create formulas and seeing patterns in physics and chemistry. But the most important one is ethical reason. He said, if we don't use ethics to guide our scientific inquiries and use of the universe, the natural universe, we are going to kill ourselves. We are going to, and we're going to create evil. He believed in evil, and we're going to help the darkness here become powerful. And that's precisely what happened. You see, so his method of science was to first teach ethics first, then. If you can't prove yourself to be an ethical person, if you can't prove that you actually can do things for the benefit of all, not just for yourself, then you shouldn't be a scientist. You shouldn't be learning these powerful techniques on how to manipulate, how to create rockets and, engines and all these powerful technologies that have evolved since then, right? And they've all gone where? Well, we all know where they went. They went into the hands of the military-industrial complex. And wow, it's creating havoc right now. And they've gone into genetic engineering, which is, it's one thing to understand, chromosomes and all that cool stuff that's going on, at the foundation of life. And maybe it's even more I think it's more founded in water than chromosomes, but that's another theory, another journey that most people don't understand. But anyways, definitely genetics has something to do with it. But to look at it and to see that it's sacred and we shouldn't alter it, versus the notion that, oh, we can change it any way we want. We can start mixing species. We can make GMO fish. We can make GMO everything. And we can completely decimate. We have, Lonnie, it's hard to imagine that people are just blown away when you tell them 94% of the seed that used to be here that's usable for humans is now gone. In 50 to 60 years, we have decimated the amount of choices for food for our species.
What did you say that again?
94% of the seed variety has been taken out in the last 60 years. by pastoral farming. That's Vandana Shiva. She's one of the most respected people in this area. That's one of the things they talk about in her documentary. It's just basically called Seed. It's on the internet. Anybody can watch it. Something I know a lot about a lot of things because I've been studying this stuff for 35 years. But one of the things that was amazing to me that came up in this movie, that when they attacked Iraq, the first city they attacked in Iraq? Okay, what was it? I forget the name of the city.
Baghdad? They attacked Baghdad.
Yeah, okay. When they attacked Baghdad, you know what they went after? One of their first targets?
The seeds, the farms?
They had a seed vault, like the one in Finland.
I remember hearing that.
Seed varieties.
Well, this is an intention. I mean, look, the thing about Iraq was mission accomplished. The whole thing is about them. It's about the very few deciding that they're going to get rid of a lot of people on the earth, and that was the beginning of it. Let's be clear. Mm-hmm. I mean, they intentionally went after the heart. That is the seed of civilization of mankind, is Baghdad. They have gone after it. They went after it intentionally as a message to anybody who's paying attention that we're coming after you. And guess what? It's spreading. I mean, fear really is running. This is the deal. It's like, until we get a grip and recognize that fear is their tool. It's not weaponry. It's not biogenetics. It's none of that. Fear is what is their tool.
Well, it's it's definitely one of the tools. But when you make your money, and we live in this money god system, if you're going to starve if you don't do this stuff, it's not just fear. It's a whole complex web of manipulative tools that are putting us into this situation. But it's not just fear. It's media manipulation. Anyways, we talked about this last time, I think, when I went through all the different, what I see as the primary issues we have to deal with, and then the solutions. And one of them is just misinformation and understanding. And if everybody understood that we went to Baghdad to start a war in the Middle East to basically align all the nations there with the World Bank and the BIS, we want one system for everything. That's one of the big agendas, right? And the money god worship. That's a huge, huge piece. And that's why we'll never get anywhere until we reform the money systems. Because we're all basically motivated by money. Even us that want to live in an intentional community, we'd like to have a lot more of them. But what's the main limit? Money. It costs money to do stuff, right? You can't just erect houses for out of nothing. Even we do, as much as we try to do things right off the land, you need screws, you need windows, we don't know how to make windows. There are certain things that we still use. We need to buy gas. You know, we use a chainsaws. You know, I'm going to buy a sawmill, so we can literally take trees off the land and make our own lumber, right? Because in the end, that will pay for itself. So, I mean, we haven't gotten to the point where we can fabricate everything we need, right?
How big is your intentional community?
Oh, it's only 6 people.
But I mean, how large is the land? What size of the
plot? Land is 120 acres. It's huge.
That's cool. You guys, well, I don't know. Can you grow a food forest up in where that area? Would it sustain it? Is it too much cold up there?
No. There's one of the, as I say, 6, but it's a 6-person full-time, but there's a lot of people coming in here, okay, part-time, helping out, you know, people who have come and gone. So there's different pieces. There's one guy who started a small part of the garden, which is like a fruit forest. But, you know, it takes 7 years to create a fruit forest, right?
Yes, it does. It does.
It's not an immediate, you know, solution. So, you know, all these things, we're going to experiment with many different things. But let me tell you about the community outside of the community. So we have this one little community, okay? It's called Lanark Eco Village. Well, it's not that big, small. It's 120 acres, which we get in our – oh, yeah, we also have one of these four-wheel drive things, the all-terrain vehicles. So that takes, you know, gas. So we do need to buy stuff. But we're tooting around. I mean, 120 acres is a pretty big space.
Yeah.
So it takes a while just to get around this area. on this, you know, on this 18, and I haven't even seen the whole thing, and I've been up there 3-4 times. It's probably spent like a week and a half up there already. So, yeah, it's a big area. So, yeah, so we're blessed, and what we're trying to do is create a structure where 20 people can live in it. We're going to call it a large family home for zoning bylaw reasons. So we do have limitations legally too, right? So you're saying it's based on fear. Well, it's not just based on fear, Lenny. There's a lot of logistical problems in our system that control us and limit what we can do. And so we have to play this game. This is one of the big things about this is the I said about the magazine that was put out. People learning how to zig and zag through the all the minutiae of the bylaws and the legal systems that we confront when you want to do something that isn't family home, boom, 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 grass, lawns, you know, all that crap that everybody else is sucked into. So yeah, there's a lot involved. But the beautiful thing, Lonnie, is that the people that are doing this stuff, they're all amazingly intelligent. They're all amazingly connected. We sit down, we talk about stuff. We had a little meeting there the other day, just six of us. And then I ran into another guy who there's a new initiative in Canada where they're trying to up the insulation value in homes, make them tighter, better insulated, which is really the key in Canada in a northern climate. We need it. Up the energy standards. This is the real solution for homes anyways, to get them off the grid. Because if you can insulate a home properly in Canada, which is about 60-90 in the northern parts, 60 in the walls, 90 in the ceiling, you can get that home pretty much running off a solar panel on the roof. And I'm not talking the whole roof, I'm talking a couple. Because once you get to that point, you don't need a lot of energy, okay, coming in from outside. You actually need none. And this is the key, Lonnie. It's simple changes. It's called building code, get 60-90 in the building code, and then retrofit backwards. We could take 20 years to do this, and we could sell all our power to you guys. I'm telling you. It's amazing the power of prevention, the power of preventing loss. This is one of the key solutions. And again, this is what we used to be good at. But we've lost this because we've been encouraged to be wasteful, to be huge consumers of everything. And
actually think, again, not to be this repetitive little bell here, but my response to that is it's actually we've been encouraged to live in fear. We are fearful we don't have enough energy, so we need to do this. We're fearful that we're going to not have this, so we need to do this. I mean, we're fearful to constantly, we're pushed into a fear-based society by making a lot of very bad choices because we've been only given the opportunity to see what, you know, it's been framed that if you don't have this, if we don't have it, we're going to do without. Nobody wants to do without. I mean, and yet there's lots of people. I mean, the dirty little secret is poverty, at least in America, is substantially increased. There's a lot more poor people here. And nobody wants to admit it. But then again, it's all fear-based. And I think the more we can realize that we can live off the grid, there are simple things. That's what's really great about you choosing this lifestyle change. You will be the living example to show people that we don't need to live in fear. We don't need to hang on to this fear-based society. We can create our intentional communities. We can go small. Small is a good idea. You know, yeah. That's kind of the idea. You have six people on this intentional community, and yet you'll be able to be completely self-sustaining, and it'll probably eventually grow to, who knows, a handful of people. A lot of these intentional communities grow. I think they max out at 15 to 20 people because you just can't. Otherwise, it just becomes another different type of entity. So I don't know.
A lot of the people are older. A lot of them have already had their kids, but ideally you want kids to be raised in these communities, right? You want to have them set up for families. So that's my goal is to get this one, revitalize this one, because they've had some struggles. Get this one really rocking and then create more and more of them. What I want to do, Lonnie, is this. I want to create a build group. I want to get a bunch of people who really, like me, who are strong. There's people like me out there that we're older, we're wiser, and we're still strong. We've somehow been able to withstand all the bullshit, all the you name it, all the battles, the fear-based system, and we're still strong. And we want to go out there, share the knowledge, and just help people, because there's a lot to learn to set up a community, right? How to build buildings, that's a huge learning curve. So we're going to go around. We're not going to charge a lot for our services, but we're just going to go around and say, hey, we're going to jumpstart you. We're going to help you get moving in the right direction. We're going to help you with 10 years of learning curve. We're going to teach you in a month what you need to do, and we're going to help you do it. You see, this is what we need to do. We need to live in the love economy, which is the gift economy.
Yeah.
We're going to give to you, and we're not going to ask for anything back other than we want you to do this, and we want to spread this knowledge, this mantra, this old new way, because it's really the old way, this old new way of living, right? And this is what's going to fix this planet, because the more and more people pull out of this ridiculous system, they're not going to have anyone to live off of. And the ones that don't are just going to nature's way will be that they will just demise. You cannot live in a diseased system forever. Eventually, it's going to crack. It's going to just completely implode. The people that survive will be the ones that know. And we will have fixes for everything, including nuclear toxins, because that's going to be an issue. I don't know if we're ever going to fix all the problems created by the nuclear industry, right? We're not going to clean up all the waste, I don't think. I don't think we're ever going to get there unless we get help from, you know, aliens or some other species that comes here. But we're going to have to learn how to deal with all these things. But I do believe that all the answers lay in understanding the curing quality of all plants, of hemp, of vitamin, like you say, vitamin C, which all, it, well, God, you want vitamin C? Check out the spruce tree or any of the coniferous trees, right? They're full of vitamin C. So this is what we did with the scurvied sailors who came here. The Indians cured them of their scurvy. So yeah, everything we need is there. and we are honing it. And like I say, I want to create a build crew eventually, maybe in a few years, maybe 3-4 years. And we're just going to go. Cause I'm convinced that I'm going to stay healthy for a long time. I'm strong now. I'm 61. I don't see any barriers. Actually, I'm going to get stronger as I start doing more and more physical labor. Cause over the last few years, I've been sitting behind a computer and man, I get up there and start moving big rocks, you know, and chopping wood and cutting down trees. My whole body just starts to pop.
Well, the human body is meant for movement. We're not meant to sit docile. I mean, again, it's this whole idea. See, this is there to take us away. You talk about coming here and crushing the native nations that were here. Part of that is to destroy the a lot of the history and the knowledge that they had was handed down, and elders were respected. The society respected people. And what happened was it really is about creating a fear-based society, that we're seeing the culmination of it. And I actually do believe that we'll be able to remediate all the nuclear stuff. I think once this really comes to an abrupt end, and I think that's coming shortly, the microbes, the production, the mass production of microbes that it's going to need will go into full swing. People that have gotten into the microbe business right now who are struggling or not doing as great as they should be, like Chuck Heineman out at Mid-America Land Restoration. And people can go to his website and order some of those microbes. You can actually really reverse out a lot of the contaminants just with microbes. I had Charlotte Anthony talking about how all that worked. And essentially what it does is it reorganizes the molecular structure of the atom so that it takes it out of that state of fission. They know that we have this technology. It's there. The earth has its answers and we can actually move forward for it. So that's my hope for the future, is that, I think that part of why people are being drawn to these intentional communities and to get off the grid is people can sense that we're going to have an abrupt something is going to happen. And then we're going to have to pick up the pieces. And part of that is the mass. I mean, imagine the mass production we're going to need of microbes on this planet to reverse out all the nuclear contamination. It's going to be the number one industry if we still have industry.
Well, yeah, the people that know how to create their own. The nice thing about microbes is once you've got a bunch of them, they self-replicate. So it may not be a bad idea to get some of these microbes from Chuck. I've talked to Chuck over the years many times. And I'll tell you this. What he's on to is, I think, has merit in that the Russians are saying that they know how to process the uranium waste, transmutate it back to its original form. And one of the key components of doing that is microbes. Okay.
Of course.
You've heard about this. But they're saying now, well, we've created a nuclear system that's safe because we can take the uranium and take it out of its more toxic state, which is the plutonium level, and go reverse it back to uranium so that it's not toxic anymore, or that it can be reused over and over again. So they've got this system, and that's why they're proliferating nuclear power now, right? They say, oh, we've got a safe way of doing it, and they're going to sell this way of reprocessing it that they say is completely safe. So that's another battle we have to fight, Lonnie, against the supposed safe way. So, I mean, it's just what I talked about. What did I talk about earlier about Father Light and ethics, right? We've got to get back to ethics. We've got to stop thinking we can use dangerous forms of energy and make them safe. We've got to realize that, hey, why do we need dangerous forms of energy when we have so much natural, clean energy? I don't care if we can reprocess the damn stuff. What if there's an accident? And we know how many bloody accidents there are. And we know that even though they say it's safe when they're using it, it's still leaking out of these plants.
So, well, you speak about ethics. I mean, right now we have completely unethical. Right here in Hanford in June 8th, actually, speaking of that, just yesterday they came out a story. King 5 came out and said that accident in May or in June, they discovered that they tested the workers, you know, the one where it was the big accident in Hanford that they'd never seen before, where they had it shut down and they evacuated. It turns out they're testing 250 of the workers, and more than 20% of them have been directly inhaled plutonium. And what the Todd Sutherland, CH2M Hills, PFP Safety Health and Radcon Director, CH2M is the contractor up there. They basically said at the time, he says, a dose of less than equal to 1 milligram. They're comparing inhaling plutonium with having an X-ray. It's less than one X-ray chest. And what our own government, U.S. Department of Energy, says is if you look at what the exposure was, it equates to approximately what a chest X-ray would be. Although what they are denying, and Dr. Marco Kofkin says this, there's no safe amount of plutonium you can inhale or ingest. A millionth of a gram of plutonium has a measurable risk of causing a lethal lung cancer. So we're talking about ethics here. That's really where we're at with this nuclear stuff. And frankly, with a lot of even the chemical, I mean, the destruction of our planet is because we have scientists who are not ethical.
Absolutely. And they are being paid to be that way. You see, this is what I'm saying about the Mother Earth money. We will pay people to be ethical versus what we have now. And this is why we need it, because most people don't know how to function in a gift economy. They're not there yet. Okay. They haven't evolved to that level. But if we can incentivize people to do good things, to do natural, find natural solutions to all our problems, like Chuck, right? Chuck Hindeman, great guy. We can do a lot of good with this money, you see, but we're not going to be able to move everyone to the gift economy or the intentional community, but we can do over a series of two generations, I believe, like 40 years, we can incentivize people to do everything natural again, teach people how to grow local. I've got my friend Jim Gale has got a beautiful system of growing everything you need in your backyard. So all the people that live in the cities or like where I am now in Toronto, they don't have to go back to the intentional community. They need everything they need, they can have in their backyard. They want to live in these cities. They want to be, you know, less than, you know, completely connected to Mother Nature. At least if they growing their own food, they can get around all the toxins that are coming through the food system. So like I say, there's many ways of fixing things. And we have to open our minds up to all the possible fixes. And that's what I want to do with our Gardner Party, the Gardner Political Party. We'll open the whole bailiwick of solutions. So we're not limited just to the ones that we think they're good for us, but we look at all the possible solutions. Okay. This is the key. Because again, Mother Earth believes in diversity. So diversity of solutions is also the key to us surviving here and getting out of this mess we're in right now. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do get you. And I completely concur. To be honest, I think that we do need diversity. We do have to have, and I think people are, you know, it's like inching people into doing the right thing because we've gotten away from it for so long. Again, I believe that it's because humans are just so fragile. They're easily manipulated, that we're at a point where we're seriously mentally, emotionally, and physically weak. The whole species as a whole has just been seriously broken down. People are confused. They don't know what's real, what's not real. Is the earth flat? Is the earth, does it really matter if the earth is flat or round? That's, you know, like for real? I mean, we're not going to be walking around the whole entire earth. So is that even a conversation to have? That's my, I mean, like for me, the way I look at it, like we've got a lot of really big issues that we've done to our planet already. We're decimating at a non, look what we are doing to the Amazon. If we lose the Amazon, like, it's kind of like we've been saying, oh God, if we lose the Great Barrier Reef, well, we have lost the Great Barrier Reef and they're still attacking the Amazon and governments are still approving it and saying, yeah, it's a good idea because we need that energy because we're going to be fearful of what's going to happen if everybody can't put gasoline in their cars. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. What I find frustrating is this about, like, let's look at the ocean issue. And we've talked about this, about the importance of stopping the shipping, or at least making shipping that's and non-damaging. All these wonderful people, the marine biologists, whatever, running around the earth and saying, okay, we're going to stop. We're going to preserve huge, huge spaces of ocean. I mean, the Barrier Reef has been protected for a long time. Why did it die? Because we're acidifying the water with shipping. And none of these people will admit to it. None of these people even know about this. They think it's cars that are doing it. Right. It's insane, Lonnie. Cars are nothing compared to this shipping. There's 90,000 of these ships. So you say it's all fear. Well, it's not just fear. It's also ignorance of what's causing the problem. And nuclear's right there, too. So it's ignorance that leads to fear because nothing's working. People are afraid because, God, we're spending all this bloody money on this and that to try to fix things, and nothing's working. Nothing's stopping the demise. So my approach is to get all the problems on one platform, work together, and let's address all of the main eco issues, okay? That's the key, because if we don't do that, nuclear alone could kill this planet. Chemicals in our soil from farming could kill the planet. Genetic engineering of plants and animals could kill this planet. I mean, geoengineering could kill this planet. They're all issues. We have to confront them all together and say, hey, they're all unnatural changes to the biosphere, and we are the biosphere. We are not separate. We are the bloody planet. Our bodies are a walking biosphere, right? So once we see these very powerful, simple connections, we can do a lot to fix things. But we're not there yet, Lonnie. We haven't gotten to the point where even radical revolutionaries like you and I are working as close together as we could. And this has got to be addressed too.
I don't know if I like myself being called a radical revolutionary. I guess I am. I guess I am. But that's, you know, they're like, my fear-based thing just went up. Oh my God, they're going to start pointing a finger at me. But I guess I am. Look, Brian, we have about 30 seconds left. I encourage all of our listeners to go to Brian's webpage. It's called makingadifference.tv. And you will find, scroll down on the page, he's brought together a group of some very fascinating people, people who have different ideas and different alternatives. Thank you, Brian, for joining us. It's been really our pleasure.
Well, thank you, Lonnie. And let's chat a bit off air, okay?
Okay, we will. Well, thank you.
Again, let's have another show. We're just
starting to get through. Put your courage feet on, you guys. Take some action.